Welcome to our program, Taking Care of Business. It is part of our worldwide Network for Success programming. Taking Care of Business will help you learn how successful managers and business owners manage their businesses, capitalize on opportunities, and overcome adversity. Our objective is to help you understand and apply their insights, then use your expertise in your own business or job so that you can become more successful. Here's your host, Joe Camara.
Hi, this is Joe Camara. Welcome to another edition of Taking Care of Business. Today we're doing something unusual. We're at the Daytona Rolex 24-hour race, and I bumped into a gentleman named Daniel Yersiti, and he's involved with a company called Build Imagery, my apologies, and they specialize in construction long-term video documentation. And the topic today is obviously a pretty self-evident. It's building video imagery in the construction industry. Welcome, Daniel.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. You're getting some good shots here.
Unbelievable shots in this facility.
Well, I know you have some history here. It's quite extensive. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Basically, what we do long-term documentation of large-scale construction projects, pretty much any construction project. And we've been working with the Daytona Speedway, Rossetti, the designer-architect, and Barton Mallow, who is the construction manager and builders. And we've been documenting this build literally from the ground up and the demolition till now to the completion. And it's been almost 2.5 years now that we've been documenting it along the way. And we document it for multiple purposes. Some of the marketing, publicity, spec work as far as the construction side. But it's been a fantastic project.
I'll bet. So how did you get it started? How did the company get started in this business?
The company got started where I was a freelance videographer in California, and they needed a videographer for the construction of the Rose Bowl.
Oh, wow.
And so I started working with just Barton Mallow, who was the company here, just as a freelancer. And we did we basically did the whole build of the Rose Bowl. And from there, branched out to some more companies and some more projects. But specializing mainly a lot in these large sports facilities, unique builds, mm-hmm. a lot of unique builds, or what they call redevelopment projects mm-hmm. are really specialty, and really enjoy it.
So kind of walk us through from the beginning of a project, or I guess what I'm trying to get at is, in the beginning, do you have a contract? A long-term contract with the companies you're working with, or do you have to go out and get new customers all the time?
So, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because you do work with a smaller amount of companies, but you wind up working with multiple projects of theirs. And no one likes to eat out of the same breadbasket all the time, unfortunately. But the two main companies that I work with a lot have kept the company busy, and it's good that way. Plus, you also get to know how the company works and how what their goals are long term, as far as, especially with us being in the video world, the company has to adopt a video program, and once they adopt that video program, then you help them facilitate the usage of that. And what's the best way to captivate
great,
that?
Great. Okay, so let's say a project is on the horizon for them. They get the approval to do the project. They contact you?
Yes.
Then what?
So basically they contact me, and then I go out and I sit with the project manager, the business development team, as well as the publicity team. And we kind of design a plan looking at what the project is, looking at what the what some of the specific design details would be of the project or materials they're going to use, and we find out what the major milestones are going to be, if there's any specialized community outreach that we want to focus on. A lot of projects are in certain areas that sometimes are, you know, they're trying to rebuild up the area. So with that, you know, we try and show how the development or contracting team is actually helping the neighborhood, doing local tradesmen, bringing them in, local companies bringing them in, doing outreaches to the communities. So we sit there and we develop a video plan over the whole term of the project and lay it out from there.
Yeah. Well, on TV, I've watched some documentaries like you're talking about. Some are half an hour, and they document major projects, and they're always very interesting. You learn something just about every time. So I'm sure you must learn a lot during the course of these.
I have learned to build a building. you do learn a lot, and that each, you take something from each project and move it forward to the next project. There are definitely, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's video. What unforeseen conditions do you come across? You know, it's not like you're building the building. But we do come across unique circumstances where it's like, oh, we should have grabbed that. We should have got that footage. But we will on the next project. So, I mean, each one's a learning process. And we try and take those lessons. And even as far as, you know, video length, you know, where now, especially nowadays with social media is a big thing, you know, we're developing with our customers and our clients how to best put out video. You know, it's not just, hey, let's make a 20-minute video. It's, you know, let's put a smart video out. Let's put a video that's, you know, shorter, has a little bit less information in it, but it's more to the point, because then we can put another smaller video out and we can hit specific points with these videos. Yeah. So that's, you know, how we're developing with our clients as well.
Yeah. So in essence, the real basic idea of your service is content marketing. It's not just the capture of the project for posterity. It's really to use it in a constructive, pardon the pun, constructive way. For the company to maybe have a video when they go to their next sales presentation and so on.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why a lot of sometimes people think, oh, well, I'll just hire any production company and they can make a video. You can, but what the unique facet that we've kind of fell into and realized is that we become an extension of the marketing publicity department, as well as the construction part. I mean, there's many times that we'll be filming and we have to refer back to some of our footage for recognition as to how a project or how something was built. And especially now with the expansion of technology with drones and augmented reality and virtual reality, you know, we've stepped into that area, and we're helping our clients move into that area as well. And so, yeah, you do become an extension almost of the company. And that's why companies that you're working with, rather you stay working with them all the time and not go and work with other people. But at the same time, you're like, well, yeah, right. I'm not part of your company, but so, if, you know.
Well, we also do a TV program, and we use the same kind of ideas you're talking about to help a marketing division or a marketing manager understand how we can help, you know, augment what they're doing. Often we find that especially an older client hasn't really grasped the new technologies and what's available and what the possibilities are. So what I'd like to do is do two things. I'd like to go back to the beginning. Okay, you're going to start a project. You've done the planning. When do you start? Do you interview people in the beginning and talk to the CEO and say, you know, what's of the construction company or the client and say, you know, tell us about what you anticipate and so on? How does that unfold over the life of the project?
So when we sit down and first decide what, let's call them, our deliverables are going to be, how many deliverables are going to be, what those are, we find out what the first piece of the puzzle is. You know, some people might say welcome the project to the community. They want to introduce the team to the community. You know, sitting on a project like this in Daytona here, you know, our first piece of the puzzle was, you know, introducing the team to Daytona. The reason for that was because the team, the building, the design and construction team are from Detroit. Daytona is a very close town, you know, a very good old boy kind of town. And racing is a very good old kind of sport.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want unfamiliar faces involved. So it was, hey, you know, we are, this is who we are, and we're actually race fans as well. And it was introducing the team to that. So it's a lot of times it's deciding what that first video is going to be. It's usually an introductory to the project, introductory to the team, introduction to the design and development. It's the relationships that the design development team has with the community. So that's pretty much the first kind of step. And then, like I said, it's sitting with the teams and deciding what the best is. Is it a design story? Some things could be an awesome design. Some things could be a very simple design, but it's like a hospital. It's a community project. And a lot of the videos will be community-orientated, technology-orientated. So each first step is customized to that build. Okay. So it's kind of hard to say what the first step, but sure. The first is always usually some sort of introduction to the project.
And then do you buy TV time and get your initial video on TV, or how does it get out to the community?
So all of the videos usually spread virally through the companies, through the communities. The TV time that comes up on these videos is usually a facility like the Daytona Speedway, where there's a lot of news groups and sports associations want to use and see the footage as it was. So that's where the footage then gets to TV. We also say a specialized event here would be the installation of the Daytona mega sign that's on the front of the building. So we basically film that, and then we turn it around how a Reuters or a news information group would. We turn it around within, you know, 20 minutes to the radio stations, to the TV stations, to all the sports affiliates to use that video to do that. So that's our direct relation, especially to the marketing and media side of it. You know, we got, you know, besides having the experience of shooting buildings, I have the experience of, and my team has the experience of shooting, you know, quick turnaround, where it's bringing in news, turning around fast, quick edits, and getting it out to the news community. So most of it's internet-based, but a lot of it is, some of it does get TV as well.
Great. We're going to just take a pause for a minute. It'll help my editor manage things.
Sure.
You probably know about that.
Yes, I do.
Okay, Daniel. So you've got the basic idea of what you're shooting and why you want to shoot it, and you've got experience releasing your some of your video periodically. Take us through the rest of the project. As the project, what's the very first shot other than an interview? Let's say with a CEO or a project manager or whatever.
So the interviews and the interviews come through different stages, through different phases. Well, you know, if we're talking about the design phase and the beginning phase, we'll interview the designers while we then do shots of them inside their studios, inside their design world. You know, we will import BIM modeling, which is computerized modeling. So that's one of the aspects. You know, then we'll be out on, say, the next video will be out on site with the actual superintendents, the construction managers those are the guys in the trenches there. And again, it all leads back to what our deliverables are. So that's the next phase. And it's literally just following these phases and the highlighted milestones of the build.
And so how frequently would you plan to shoot every time? I mean, would you work with the project manager and say, okay, these are the spots we want to shoot, and there's no regular pattern, or is it once every week, once every other day, or whatever?
Sure. Construction has an interesting arc. What happens is, in the very beginning, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of first-time work. There's a lot of, call it hard and rough work. And so our teams are usually on the ground once a week, depending on the size of the project, once every other week. And then what happens in the middle, somewhere in the middle of the project, you have what is, there's a lot of repetitive work. You know, if it's going, you know, if you're building six stories, the first story is pretty much the most exciting one, and then the ones after that are pretty much just copies of the ones before it. So there's a lot of that middle work. So we kind of we spread our shooting out a little bit wider there. Then as you come towards closing and finishing, there's a lot of first-time drywall, first-time painting, first-time electrical, MEP, mechanical, electrical, and plumbing, and finishes, millwork. So all that work is first-time, so then you come in again and you know, you're in there every week, every other week, and following the finish. And then when the project is completely finished, we come in and we'll film use of space or just finishing a finishing final, let's call it the pretty video, you know.
Yeah, great. Now, I don't know, I'm not really a videographer. I kind of understand what's going on, but do you often just set up a camera and just let it run and or take, you know, time shots, you know, one every 10 seconds, one every minute, whatever, that sort of thing?
Sure. We have a couple of different techniques we use, and that's one of the unique aspects of our company. There's a lot of construction. I don't say a lot. There are other construction videography companies, but what we do is we actually get on the ground. We're on the dirt. We're in, you know, there. We do time lapse. We do set up time lapse cameras to get that perspective as well. But we're literally on the ground, right there, right next to the drywaller putting it in, right next to the iron worker. We're out on the beams where we have the harnesses on. And talking about perspectives, you know, we also are licensed by the FAA to fly drones.
Well, I want to talk more about technology in a minute, but
sure.
Yeah, keep going.
But yeah, so that's the but we actually get down and then we use a multitude of angles and multitude of perspectives to tell a story. You know, we're not just shooting video of construction. We're telling the story of that building.
Great. Well, maybe now is a good time to talk about technology. You mentioned quite a different number of technologies when we were talking before the show. Maybe you can go through them one at
sure.
a time and give us some idea of what you do with them.
Sure. So, I mean, we use, just for our basic everyday shots, we use high-end DSLR and HD cameras, capturing in 4K, 2K and 4K, which are different resolutions. Which are very high-end. Specialized cameras, we use specialized time-lapse cameras that capture wide-angle, a lot of wide-angle stuff, you know, kind of the big perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And something we've also introduced a little while ago is we also brought in the use of drones, and then we applied and got certified by the FAA to fly the drones for the architecture construction environment, and we use that as a perspective, not only high up aerial shots, but we actually, you know, if they're putting steel on a building, you know, I'll fly the drones, you know, 10, 15, 20 feet away from the guys actually doing the work.
Yeah, yeah.
Which it's like a bird's view.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And it's amazing.
Did they give you a hard time since there's a small airport right next to the facility here?
This location is specific, and we have had to get clearance from the airport for our flights here, so yeah, we had to get very specific with our flights here at the airport. Other locations, since we are cleared by the FAA, as long as we're in compliance with what that zone is, it's not too bad.
So when you say clearance, you are finding out from the airport next door when planes are taking off and landing and when you can actually be in the air?
Right. We actually, we put it up as a what is it called? I forget what it's called, but we actually put up a notification with the tower and say from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock we're occupying this location up to, you know, 400 feet, because that's the height that we can fly to. So basically they create this a no-fly zone for us from that time.
I see.
From that time, so we don't it's kind of a hand in hand. You know, we say, hey, well, this is when we're going to do it, and they create the no-fly zone for us.
Are there any other technologies? I think you mentioned some that we haven't talked about yet.
You know, we've also started working with our clients in the virtual reality and as well as the augmented reality, using mechanisms like the Oculus and Unity programs to help our clients help their clients see what a lot of the construction will be as if they're standing in the space and applying the architectural modeling to a pair of like glasses or goggles, as you will, and they can put those on and then see what's going on. So we've helped them with that as well.
So one of the ways we bumped into one another was you were shooting something and I was critical of a particular element. If somebody had put those glasses on and been on this floor that we're on and identified this little glitch that I think happened, maybe they would have avoided it and it would have been solved and I wouldn't have been complaining about this little glitch.
Right. The little glitch you talk about is a site level. And the funny thing is, actually, this floor was one of the floors and levels that was used inside the Oculus. It was designed a little differently at the time of use. But yeah, they did actually have a modeling and were using Oculus for this floor. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're on the cutting edge of using technology that's available. What do you see coming in the future?
Well, I think cameras are going to get lighter, smaller, and just higher, crisper as far as resolution. More ability to control data and light sources, being able to split perspective and depth of field within one camera, we'll start to see. As far as the aerial, I think there'll be, I hope there'll be more compliance with aerial and drones, and drones are getting smarter. As far as the augmented reality, I see that it's just going to get cleaner and smoother. And I think that what you'll find is more ease of use and out of your circle usage. So, you know, people that are using gaming technologies will start using it in construction. And from construction, in a widespread, they'll actually start, you know, narrowing it down to individual, you know, using it for steel work, using it for electrical work. I just see a big trend towards taking a lot of that technology that they have in gaming and just computers and IT, bringing it into fields like this.
So won't that create a additional competition for your company and the things you do?
I think it will, to a point, because you'll have specific companies that, you know, specialize in aerial, specific companies that specialize in this. You know, we try and keep familiar and updated with all the latest technologies and how they can be used in the field. And we're actually sometimes taking information from the field and saying to certain manufacturers, like our drone manufacturer, it'd be great if we could do infrared or sensor or something. And so now they've moved into infrared and sensory, flight sensory definitions. I don't know the exact term. Uh-huh.
Well, so even though there's going to be increased competition from some of these out-of-field companies, you, it sounds like you're on the cutting edge, so you're leading where the industry is going rather than just following where the industry is going.
Yeah, I mean, leading staying on the front step of it. Yeah, you know, understanding who the manufacturers are and being able to take our knowledge and mention it to the manufacturers and say, hey, this is an idea that we saw or thought of.
So, as you mentioned earlier, having just a few clients is always a risk, because if you lose one, maybe half of your business is gone. So how do you market to new clients? What's the way you want to acquire new customers?
We try, you know, it's a lot of times it's sight unseen. I mean, you see a new project going up, you get the information of who that project's going to be. and then you approach the marketing division, you approach the project manager, you approach the different levels, and you're marketing to construction managers, you're marketing to marketing, you're marketing to promotions people. So you have to kind of understand each person has their own nuance and what they, how you could bring value to the table for the construction company. And that's the biggest thing.
Another question that I want to ask you is, okay, so somebody's listening to this, no matter in Tokyo or Hong Kong or Singapore, and they hear your interview and they want to get in touch with you because they might have an interest in a project or something else. How would they get in touch with you?
Well, we work with customers all around the country. So we basically set up a system at each of our locations and construction sites with using local talent and having them understand how we shoot and how we work, and of course auditioning them out well to work with us. And we basically bring our managers and our other producers in periodically to manage the content, to manage the project, and basically just using local talent for the everyday shooting and the specific content that we're acquiring. That enables us to shoot a project anywhere in the globe. And so we are not tied to a location. We can shoot and will shoot Tokyo, anywhere.
Well, that's good. And interesting you mentioned Japan. I worked with a fairly large construction company that did these fabric roofs for stadiums, and there's quite a few around here. But I believe many of them are manufactured out of the U.S. So if somebody was going to put this kind of a roof up on one of your projects that's going to be built here, and they were going to ship the manufacture over there and ship the materials here, you could still find somebody to do the shooting that needed to be done there, and then the shooting would come back with the materials that were going to be erected.
Yes, I mean we've been involved with multiple scenarios and with various locations, and we've always been able to find a shooting solution to that scenario.
Great. Okay. So I know you've been talking, but we're going to go back to my question.
Okay.
So somebody's thinking about building a project, maybe not on the scale of the Daytona Speedway, mm-hmm. but a sizable project like their building, their administration building or something, and they want to get in touch with you. Let's do that first. How do they get in touch with you?
The best way to is go to www.buildimagery.com. It's buildimagery.com, and there is an information tab there, and if you can click on that, you can just say please contact me, and one of our sales representatives or myself will get in touch with you and discuss where we go from there.
Okay. Would they get in touch with you by name? Because your name, like my name, is a little bit difficult in the...
They can just ask for Daniel.
Okay.
I will get in touch with them.
Sounds good.
Yes. Otherwise, it's information@buildimagery.com.
Okay. So let's go back to my Minimax question.
Okay.
If someone wants to work with you, they've heard good things and listen to this, and they get in touch with you, and one of their questions from our programming is going to be, okay, I heard what you told me in the interview. How do I get the maximum value for the minimum investment? What would you tell them?
So basically I would say, let's find a project that's not your biggest project or an aspect of your project to start out with. Let's, if you are putting in a certain staircase, if you're just want to introduce your team, let's find a point or an aspect of your project to highlight, to mark as a milestone, and let's do that first to develop the relationship. And that's the minimal investment for the most viable product.
Great. Daniel, it's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed this interview.
Thank you.
I hope you're going to get some value out of it beyond sitting with me and educating me a little bit.
Great.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 any time of the day or night. Taking Care of Business is sponsored by Consulting Task Force. CTF is a full-service management consulting firm known for providing personalized end-to-end business-building methods, as well as cost-saving tools and techniques focused on improving your business. CTF helps your business grow and prosper. If you missed some or all of our show, you may view it again by logging into our website. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.networkforsuccess.com. Do you own or manage your own business? Have you missed any episodes of our show, Taking Care of Business? Previous shows include such topics as Introduction to Integrated Marketing System Squared, Leveraging Your Marketing, Partnering with WBXZ TV, Product Service Packaging, Data Management to Build Your Business, Online Marketing, Startup Steps for Marketing Your Business, Sales and Proposal Techniques, and more. You can easily order past shows by contacting us at support@networkforsuccess.com.